The plan for today is to let me introduce myself and my team, and then show you what outreach happens here at Perimeter. So interject, stop, ask questions. The PowerPoint is there to keep me from talking too long, actually, because I'll switch from picture to picture, and that makes me think of something else. And then if you make me change the slide, I'll go on to something else. So if I take too long, just say change the slide, and then we'll keep right up. At PI, we do a ton of outreach. So how do I end up landing here, getting to do such a wonderful job? I was a high school physics teacher for 17 years. I came to PI 4 years ago now. And when I came, I thought I was here just to help build one of these high school resources that I'll point to later on for a year. And somehow I never left. I think it was the food in the bistro. I'm not sure. But it's just a wonderful place. I loved the teaching, absolutely loved teaching high school. And this was just a natural evolution to something new and exciting. So I love it here as well. And here we go. So first, welcome. Get your own slide. Did I spell Psi right? See? At PI, you probably have already heard this, there's three main mandates. There's an outreach mandate, there's a research mandate, and there's a training mandate. You are the training mandate, morphing into the research mandate. Outreach, we're kind of on our own, and we get to interact. We get to take what wonderful work happens in the training world and in the research world, and we get to share that with the general public, with students and teachers. So that's where this little toy comes in. This is essentially all that we do. I just couldn't do a presentation without showing you my little toy. You excited so far? Now check this out. Oh my. Oh my. So I have shown this literally to kindergarten students, to high school students, to teachers, to government officials. Everybody does the same thing. Some of the smartest young physicists in the world right here in front of me, you did the same thing. First of all, you're kind of, oh, curious. But then, immediately, what have you all done? Every single one of you has a picture of how this thing is connected. Every one of you, in your mind. And if you were to draw it on the board, and this is how I communicate what you do for a living, what researchers in this building are doing. They're making a model of how the world works. Now, granted, the universe is slightly more complicated than this. Insert string theory joke. And the eureka moment for kids and for government officials and for teachers is when they realize if there's 10 people drawing their idea on the board, there are 10 different ideas. You go over to each idea and you test the model against the actual observations. And if it works, it might be true. That's the eureka moment. Whether they drew a little fairy inside that just makes it all work, or some kind of mechanical mechanism, or whatever it is, the fact that scientists are trying to describe the world using models, and the models compete, and that's the beauty of science, that's the process of science, that's the eureka moment. So then your question is, why is that a eureka moment? It's a eureka moment because science too often, and maybe you're familiar with this perception, is perceived as this body of knowledge, this tablet of facts. That isn't a good perception of science, because if that's the perception of science, when something new comes out, instead of celebrating the new discovery, they look at the tablet and say, oh, you ding-dongs, you had it wrong, you taught me something wrong, you guys don't know what you're talking about, and you get a negative reaction to new discovery, rather than, oh my goodness, our model that we were using is broken, a new one is going to tell us even more, and that excitement. And it's that excitement that runs through everything we do. So, you know, when I'm out there in front of all those teachers across the country, I'm trying to explain what you do, this is what you've been reduced to. But I think it's fair. So, that is just a little snapshot of how we try to encapsulate the really big ideas that you work with into something that people can grab a hold of. How do we share? We share in a very strategic way. We share general public. We share with students and teachers, and then we try to push everything we can online to be accessible 24/7 around the globe. So I'll just sort of walk you through, stop and ask questions as we go. In terms of our strategy, this little document, this little image, I sort of came up with when I had to explain to our funders. A lot of what we do is the dog and pony show about why science is important in front of funders, and they have to help understand how we plug into all the science that matters in this globe. That's what that picture attempts to do. So those blue blocks show all the different pieces of material that we create or produce and share. So there's our teacher network goes across the country, and I'll talk about it. There's different resources that we hand out to kids. There's public lecture series. That's grassroots. That's working with the students, the teachers, and the general public. And then there's that middle layer, and we engage with all of our organizations across this country at regional and provincial levels in terms of science organizations, physics organizations, national museums, science museums that reach across the country. That's that middle layer, and we engage with them, and we work with them. We create products for them. When they help us when we have festivals, there's a lot of really good synergy that happens. And then at the very top level is the policy. To really be effective and to get science in front of and important to the most possible part of your citizenry, you need to also come at it from a policy level, really from top down. So we help shape the curricula in the provinces across this country. Interestingly, modern physics in Ontario, in the last iteration of the high school curriculum, was taken out in the first draft. It was gone. We worked with OAPT and a few other organizations to say, wait a minute, you can't do that. It's crucial. It's crucial to the real understanding. You're setting our students, Ontario kids, behind if we don't give them modern physics. So it was with those discussions that it got put back in, and not only put back in, dark matter is in the curriculum, and dark matter was the first resource that we created. So it really is synergistic that way. So I show this partly to brag about how great we are, but partly just to show that it is really a strategic, calculated thing, because you can only do so much. And you want to engage in grassroots, you have to also engage up the policy chain. So we try to mix and match the best we can, and we've been having some success. In terms of the general public, this is that most public outfacing opportunities. We really want to provide opportunities for families to talk about science over the dinner table. That's really what we're trying to stimulate. Give those kernels of opportunities where parents are going to talk to their kids about what they were excited about. And how do you do that? We do that with a lot of different things. So first of all, our public lecture series. Public lecture series happens at a local high school, WCI. It has a 600-seat theater. We do physics talks there. They sell out. Now, the tickets are free, but you can only get two at a time via email. They sell out in 5 minutes every single month. We do 8 a year through the school year. There's just a hunger and a thirst to hear what's really going on. People want to be part of that cutting-edge physics, and it's just incredible to see. We also capture it on camera, and then it's rebroadcast on TVO as part of their Big Idea series. And that really gives it national coverage. So it's 600-seat theater at the time, but then the numbers get into the tens of thousands of views over the long tail of the on-demand video. The key to success, of course, is getting good people. We had really good fortune. That's Freeman Dyson. We've had just...
I was there.
Yeah, and so interesting to listen to. Freeman, he tells a story. So he was part of the Orion project, the original Orion project, which was going to use nuclear-powered rockets to go to Mars. And they were building the rockets. They were designing the theoretical specs for these rockets. And he said, at that time, they were so giddy with the way things worked, they figured they would design it, then they would get in it and go. There wasn't you build it and then some astronauts go. He actually said, as a team, we were quite convinced we were going to build it, and then we were going to hop in and fly to Mars. Lots and lots of just tremendously funny stories. He's just a really, really interesting character and obviously renowned scientist. PIRSA, you're well aware of PIRSA, but to our public audience around the world, they really appreciate the opportunity to be able to hear what is going on, whether it's public lectures or whether it's the lectures that you guys hear or whether it's colloquia from the different scientific groups. They're all captured on camera and pumped out to the world to share the science.
That's the first time I heard of it.
Was PIRSA. And did you use it?
Of course.
Yeah, like on your own or
yeah,
as part
on my own,
of?
On my own.
And
so that's the first time. I
that's excellent, yeah. And I think a crucial piece of what we do.
It's really famous in India and a lot of Asian countries, by the way. So everybody in the universities who's interested in physics watches these lectures. I mean, yeah. So you might,
that's
you
great.
Probably don't know this, but yeah.
That's very good to hear, because we do have some data, but it's it's hard to collect.
And in research institutes, professional scientists, like we have, like we generally have courses based on Pearson. So
fantastic.
So, yeah, it's
thank you. Quite. That is good news. And then Quantum Tamers, which we were just talking about earlier, it was a made-for-TV documentary. It's pretty fast-paced. It deals with the newest, the latest cutting-edge quantum ideas, but it's for the general public. I'm just going to give you a quick little snapshot of what it was. This is the trailer, so it just takes bits and pieces. And the sound is actually on, I think. It just takes a second.
And observation. In today's technological world, everything you touch, use, see, or do, from striking a match to sailing, railing, emailing, flying, cutting, drying, tying, threading, sledding, trucking, chucking, plucking, timing, climbing, rhyming, typing, swiping, piping, wiping, tracking, cracking, jacking, texting, requesting,
resting,
talking, walking, chalking, or watching this show is possible because someone somewhere observed, experimented, and transformed what was once just an idea into a useful and powerful tool. As incredible as these innovations and inventions are, they may soon pale next to what these explorers, past and present, have discovered and are uncovering. By peering into and probing the depths of the most powerful,
tiny,
and weird universe imaginable. The quantum universe. A paradoxical realm of seemingly unlimited potential. Where fascinating phenomena are being harnessed and developed into new technologies that may alter the world as you know it. Journey into this weird and progressively wired world with the Quantum Tamers.
So, little snapshot of some of the work that we do. Like we were talking before, just over a year to make a really significant budget, and then that budget is paid back out over time as different countries show it, and it's now been shown in 60 different countries across the world. So, things are going well on that front. Festivals are the last. Oh, absolutely. So Quantum Tamers, it was a one-shot deal. It's a document, it's an hour documentary made for TV, and it is available to buy, but that's $160, so we don't sell a lot of single copies. The change that we hope to happen there, actually, and we're in negotiation. So the broadcast piece is going really well, but now what we want to do is be able to share it with general public. We get a lot of requests for the actual just, can I show it to my students? Can I? And $170 to $60 is too much. So we're trying to renegotiate that part. So if it's really cool and you want to buy it, I will let you know as soon as I renegotiate. We don't have control over the pricing right now. As soon as we do, it'll be much more affordable. Festivals are another really, really good way to engage the general public. That we had a Brainstem Unconference here just this spring. It was an incredibly unique experience. We brought the YouTube superstars who create the science content on YouTube and Henry Reich of Minute Physics. He was in the first Sci class. He's here now, and he's here until for a few more months, actually. He does Minute Physics. And then there was about 8 to 10 others who create a lot of really interesting content. They all came here. We also brought innovative educators, and we brought entrepreneurs, recognizing that truly sustainable science sharing in that digital space takes all of those people. It was a really incredible 2.5 days. We're just thrilled with the relationships that were made, and they keep blossoming and new ideas keep popping up. In fact, I just got off the phone with a gentleman who is starting a media league where, like in school, you had volleyball or soccer. You had sports after school, a league. You had met a team and you went and played other teams. It'll be a media league where you'll have students form a team and they'll play other schools around the world in creating digital content, whether it's an app or a video. And the games will be themed. So there'll be one science themed game, obviously. And that's what he was proposing. So pretty exciting stuff. That came from the festival, and that will then have that reach into interesting demographics that don't normally necessarily engage with science. Henry, I don't know if this is still the case, but at the time of the conference, he said he had a bump in his demographics with females aged 13 to 17. So you're always trying to engage parts of the demographic that don't necessarily grab on to physics, and Henry is one example of a way to get into that. Why it was popular? Love to do a study and figure out what it is that created that bump in his demographic. Maybe you guys could probably the girls could give us more insight than the guys as to why that is. But just another, it's the way students are gaining information and looking for information. So we want to be in that space. It was pretty interesting. We had the Hawking grand opening. Obviously, the Hawking Center, that's the new building. That was in the fall. And then that picture this is the most hilarious story. So we had a festival called Quantum to Cosmos. It was in 2009. Had about 10,000 people here, and we had a big tent. That was a big tent. It was literally a science center in a tent in Waterloo Square. You wouldn't believe you were in a tent when you walked in, except it was in October, so everybody thought it was Oktoberfest beer tent. So they were really surprised when they came in. But one of the exhibits was this rover. That's Curiosity. That's a life-size model of Curiosity, the rover currently on Mars. And it was right during the naming of Curiosity. So, and it was totally life-size, had all the bits and pieces from JPL Labs. It was so well done the way that we staged it. We had a company from Vancouver come and stage the whole thing, so it looked amazing. People stole the Mars rock. Adults into the pocket. It was Home Depot briquettes. It was awesome. You were captivated by the science all around you. So really, really fun stuff. And we've had over 1 million of all the lectures that happened during then. We've topped 1 million views of people watching those lectures. So there's definitely a thirst, and we need to keep supplying them with that content. And you will be in positions to help do that. Not only here, of course, I'll be knocking on your door asking for help, but as you go through your scientific careers and distinguish yourself, you're rock stars of the science world. People want to get to know you. They want to know what you do and what you think and even what you eat. It's a really, really amazing thing. So treasure that and know that. Like, it really is, you're in a unique position. During the BrainSTEM on conference, we had a University of Waterloo student show up early in the morning with a lab coat and a sign, because everybody came in from a bus each morning, and it said, "Will you please sign my lab coat?" to all the YouTube creators. Like, how awesome. They're the rock stars. So they did. They got off the bus. She's got the coolest lab coat going. You are those people. This is also part of what we do in outreach, and this is also in reach. We're trying to show that the scientific community is as diverse and rich and cultural. It's more than what people sometimes associate with science. Science is more than a lab coat working on a machine. You certainly understand that, but we need to share that. So this is one way that we help illustrate that. But on the other hand, it's also in reach, providing opportunity for you and for the other researchers. After all, some of the great science institutions are at CERN. They've got the Swiss Alps. That's nice. Italy, ooh, that's nice. We've got Silver Lake. That's nice. So this is sort of to help bolster that part of it. Students and teachers. Students and teachers, second big target group, and we do it in three different ways. We do inspirational programming, then we do our classroom resources, which I'll show you, and then we just try to magnify and try to get that as fast as we can go. So here's one of the inspirational programming. We offered a student contest across Canada, just so Canadian students could apply. They had to answer one question. I love science. Why do you love science? So the question was, I love science, dot, dot, dot. This is one of the winners. They had 30 seconds in a video. So this is...
I love science because answer. I have so many questions. So many questions that I need the answers to. I need to know where we came from, why we're here, and where we're going. I want to know how it started, where it will end, and how long we've got. I need to know why potassium permanganate is purple, why the Calgary Flames didn't make the playoffs. I need to know why the universe is expanding at an accelerating rate, and whether it takes longer by bus or train. I want to know who says I can't go faster than the speed of light, who can make a computer with an English accent for Stephen Hawking, and for someone to shed some light on dark matter. I love science because I need to know.
Got lots of amazing submissions. Just a really good creative way to see what kids are thinking about science. We also do a Physica Fantastica speaking series, and this is where if you are interested in sharing or doing some outreach, you might have an opportunity to plug in with us. We go across the country and do canned talks, science talks, but they're very popular and they're well put together and well scripted. So that's one thing we do. Then there's a Go Physics program, which they go to different cities and we take some of the keen physics kids in the area and give them a 1 day supercharged modern physics camp. And that's to 30 to 40 kids in any given city. And then the ISSYP, has anyone in here know about it, been part of it? You know about it, yeah. So if this is something that I think if you have younger siblings or and you're still in contact with youth from your home countries and home regions is something to share with those really keen kids. So all of you undoubtedly look at the world with a different lens than typical high school peers may have when you were going through high school. You look, you're a little more critical, you're more naturally find affinity to math, you just see the world in a different way. Well, this camp allows those students, those really keen physics students of habits of mind of physicists to come together for 2 weeks and 2 days in the summer here at Perimeter. There's 20 Canadians and 20 international students from all over the world, and the international kids are paired up with a Canadian kid, and they do a modern physics whirlwind tour. They do quantum to cosmos quite legitimately. And then in the second week, they do actual mini research projects. And that's another place where if you're here in July and taking on other responsibilities and wanted to contribute in that way, you could help mentor the students. And that's happened before. So Ross Diener has done that and a few of the others. It's just a really good way for you to interact with the kids and you'll see their excitement. And then they just dive in and they do some real physics. It's quite amazing.
I'm guessing that picture was when they went down the mine shaft.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah, so that's another really excellent bonus that people at Snow Lab have worked really hard with us. The kids get to go down 2 kilometers, down a working mine shaft, which you see the rock whizzing in front of you. You can want to stick your arm out and watch it get chopped off. It's like unbelievable. Then you walk through a drift that's a horizontal tunnel for 2 kilometers. Then you strip down, take a shower, put a bunny suit on, and the place is bigger than this building, it feels like. It's massive, and it's all underground and perfectly clean. The air is 10,000 times cleaner than here. That's where all the dark matter experiments are going on now. Yeah, it's really, really incredible trip. So that's the inspirational program for kids, and here's one little clip.
I've seen things here that I've already seen in high school, but from a completely different perspective.
I think by the end of the lectures, I was really mind-blown. Amazing to learn everything from a different way.
It is really, well, amazing to see how fast can we go. Like
the fact that you are working in a building where you have so many physicists passing by and you can talk to them, and it's really amazing.
And then you just get it and it's like, voila, I got the right answer. And it's like, when you get it, it's like the most amazing thing ever.
What's the only part I don't like about that video? The only part I don't like is you get the right answer and voila, because there's never the right answer. But maybe I'm a little, you know, hard. Maybe it's because I wouldn't get the right answer. That's why I'm bitter. But lights, which part of the light? Just the flickering?
No, the lights work fine. The likes.
Oh, yes. like. In terms of teaching, we do similar, we have teacher talks, we do webinars, and we have an Einstein Plus camp. So similar to the ISSYP for students, there's a teacher camp that's a week long for Canadian international teachers to come and to share, learn about our resources, to hear researchers give colloquia, and to work with each other to improve their craft.
Every time I've attended.
I'm gonna skip this, you guys don't really care. But now, classroom resources. This is another area where you may be able to participate if you want. We produce resources for high school teachers to share with their kids, and we share them around the world. They involve a little booklet like this, which has teacher background notes, it's got activities for kids, and it's got a video. In this case, it's particle physics, so it's a 30-minute video on particle physics, pretty highly produced, similar to the Quantum Tamers, but designed to teach more than be popularized as a television show. The little booklets, so I wrote textbooks in my teaching days, and we'd write an 400-page textbook in 8 months, 10 months tops. This little book takes us 14 months. Which one's more accurate? No question. The luxury that we have, we get to make sure the science from the researchers themselves who participate, every single one of them has a faculty, a senior faculty sign off on the physics. We take that and we mesh it into teachable language and activities that teachers can do, whether they like to show videos and give out worksheets or whether they want to do authentic discovery learning and kids can do labs. We build all of that in. So that takes time because we really want to get it right. But the beauty of it is, in the end, teachers do use it. They really appreciate this the world over. We go to CERN every year and we do a workshop to 50 international teachers there. And it's their favorite day of a three-week camp because they get free stuff. And because it actually works. So when it comes to doing these kind of projects, what we need typically is sometimes we just need to sit down over lunch and throw some ideas out and get the scientist's perspective back. And that's very, very valuable. We are currently doing one that looks at habits of mind of scientists. So it's a careers module, but it's not like take math, be an accountant. It's career trajectory. What do you like to do? What do you find interesting? And then match that to people. Like, is your career trajectory going exactly the way you planned when you were in grade 9 or grade 10 or grade 12 or when you were in first year university? Probably not. You're taking jukes and jives, but it's all interesting and you're following your passion. That's what we want to share. So you can help us do that in different ways, by vetting what we have. And if your story is just perfect, sometimes you might find yourself on camera and telling your story. So all of those things can happen. So I'm never on camera. I have a face for radio. But other than that, yeah.
How much does that go for?
So we give these away because the government pays for them. In Canada, they're free. I will happily give each of you a copy if you're interested to look at them. We have 7 different titles. 3 are dark matter, quantum, and particle physics. They're for the senior level physics courses, high school. And then we have others which aren't as themed. There's one on GPS. There's one on the revolutions in science. There's one on the process of science. But they're for younger age groups. So these two in Canada, free if you teach, if you're a teacher. The rest of the world, we're just now trying to, we can't share, the world's too big, we can't afford to give them away for free. So we charge just basically what it costs us. So they're $70 each. $69.95 actually. But you'll get it for the low price of $70. No, I will happily give each of you a copy if you're interested. It's just good to see and have. And if you want to share it, you have somebody back home that you know loves science, you want to plug it to them. The whole point is to get people excited about and learn some of the nuanced physics that exists. So reach your expertise. Teachers obviously build it and pretty high production values. This is just a clip from the GPS just to throw you back to your high school days watching a video.
You have 4 satellites. They're sending you signals. And you're measuring accurately where the satellite appears to be and when the signals were sent. And from that, you can figure out where you are on the Earth's surface.
The Global Positioning System is a network of over 30 satellites orbiting 20,000 kilometers above us. They move at a speed of 14,000 kilometers per hour. Each satellite follows one of 6 orbits, arranged so at least 4 satellites are visible from any point on Earth.
So the GPS is one of those smaller ones. It's a 6-minute video, also very popular. This is going to be loud because I haven't leveled the sound. This is the trailer for the particle physics I have to show you just because it was fun to have made and it's a little different vibe. Here goes. You might have to hold your ears.
Mm-hmm.
observes the world, makes measurements, then tries to find a pattern in them.
All of these concepts are in the equations.
Good stuff. Magnify and impact, just quickly, just to give you a sense of what we do, we do a train-the-trainer model. So we hand these resources to teachers. We have a network of teachers across the country. We train them, and then they train teachers in their region who then go out and train other teachers. And it's that really magnifies. Why do we go about it in this way? We go about it because the kids are prisoners in the school. We know where they are. We know how to get the science to them. And it works really, really well. And we passed the 1 million student reached mark this past spring. So we're pretty proud of where that's headed and hopefully making some small contribution to the excitement around science and science education and physics specifically. We also collaborate with lots of different media organizations on a pretty large scale. TVO, I mentioned, there's literally CBC News. Neil Turok is doing the Massey lectures this fall in collaboration with CBC Radio and CBC. Wonderful McLean's articles about perimeter. It's important, even though as a researcher, you don't always bump into that and realize it, but it is really important that the message of science progressing in those incremental steps and sometimes big steps is continually flown out there. It really does make a difference to have an educated, understanding citizenry. And that's really what we're trying to do. And partnering with key media outlets requires that. The other side of that is, because we have partnerships with these media organizations, if ever you're something big happens and you find yourself as a PI individual being interviewed and you say something, like let's say just by chance, you should say something a little too bold. You make some prediction that you're like, after you're thinking, I wish I didn't. We have, right away you tell us and we get a hold of them and make sure they don't publish it. They'll say, wait, he wants to change what he said. And that's a luxury that when it finally goes south for you, you'll be so glad you have. Because you just don't want to be that example of saying something that gets twisted or it's a little too bold or a little too one way or too negative. Whatever it is, we have the capacity to put a stop on that. And that's courtesy of good relationship building. So know that if ever it happens, come running and we'll get on the phone for you right away. Yeah, fine. Not to single you out, of course. Everything is online. Last piece, social media we use. Follow me on Twitter personally because we're having a contest. See who gets the most Twitter followers. My handle's coming up. And then YouTube, all of those things. What I did want to show you was one to finish on is Alice and Bob. So Richard Epp in the outreach team, he's a cosmologist. He was an engineer, actually, and then he saw the light and came over to theoretical physics. He created these. There's 9 episodes. In 60 seconds, literally 60 seconds, they point to some profound insight about the universe. So to you people, this won't be a surprise, but the question is, why is it dark at night? Sister is Alice, older brother is Bob. Alice will ask a question, like, why is it dark at night? Bob, the older brother, I understand this because I am one, will give a quip answer. That is wrong. I do that a lot. And then they just talk, and in 60 seconds, insight into the, a deep insight into the universe. So here we go, Alice and Bob.
Hey Bob, I've been wondering why it's dark at night.
Because the sun isn't shining.
Yeah, but all the stars are shining. If stars are sprinkled everywhere in an infinite universe, there'd be a star in any direction we look. The entire sky would be bright like the sun.
Unless, for some reason, light from the really far away stars can't get to us, leaving gaps.
Or just hasn't gotten to us. Yet. Which would be true if the universe hasn't been around forever.
You mean the light from really far away stars, traveling since the beginning of time, might not have reached us yet?
Yeah. I wonder if the darkness at night is a clue that the universe had a beginning. That's a powerful idea.
There you go. There's 9 of them. They're on YouTube. You can point to them and share them around. Little siblings, parents, grandparents, whoever wants it. In terms of you, if outreach is part of the lexicon that you want to be involved with, then there's lots of ways to engage. Come and chat with me. And depending on timing, I recognize you're here first and foremost to do some serious learning in a condensed 10-month period, and that comes first, certainly. However, there are student visits that come here, and then some, we've done a panel of Psi students before where they share their career trajectories and what drew them to science. Kids love that. You don't realize it. Your role models, your superstars, you're those, that upper echelon, and it really matters. People want to know what you're thinking, what made you choose what you chose, all of those things. So happy to engage you that way if you're interested. The offsite conferences, we took Ross and, oh shoot, I forget her name. They came to a big conference we do in Toronto. They sat down, whiteboard, sign on top, said, meet a scientist. It was awesome. People would come up with, like, you name the question, and they just go to work. So if you like just talking science, and these are all science teachers, so they're science-y questions. They're premised typically in real science, not always, but typically. Another fun way to do that. We've also done Meet a Scientist, by the way, at our festivals, which is really a popular way to engage with the public, too. Resources, I talked about. ISSYP mentoring, I talked about. And then this earlier today, on a conference call, I've been asked to, if Perimeter could, so Canada has National Science and Technology Week in October. It's actually more than a week. It's 14 days long. So I think it's almost 2 weeks by my math, to contribute to a blog. So what I was thinking, if it's interesting to any of you, I would love if we could sit down and talk about what like short, we're talking 300 words, 600 words and a cool photo. If you wanted to share your excitement around science or how science happens in your country and how that relates to Canada doing a National Science and Technology Week every year, whatever. If there's something interesting and you want to do a little blog post, I would absolutely love it if you said yes, because I did promise to do 3. So that's out there as well. I am Greg Dick, the director of outreach. You can talk to any of the team. There's my email, of course. I'm just on PI. You'll find me if you search me in the world. And most importantly, follow me on Twitter, not Dave Fish. Not Dave Fish. That's all I got. Any questions? Good? Yeah?
Yeah, I was surprised to hear that you had power over the Ontario curriculum. Do you have power over other for other provinces? And can you, like, your products, and you make the province use your products?
So power is not the right word. We have a voice at the table.
Okay.
And it's a respected voice. So
is it like a voting voice?
Depending on the province and the time, but yes. So the way it works, and it truly is both those directions. It's the policy and the grassroots.
Right.
We have teachers on our teacher network who are on the curriculum writing teams in a lot of cases. So Saskatchewan, for instance, right now is undergoing curriculum review, and we've sort of stacked the deck because right, modern physics isn't in their curriculum. So the writing team has two people very, very much supportive of PI and what we're trying to do and buy into the modern physics perspective. And they're on the team. So that's sort of both grassroots and policy all at once. That's sort of how we do it. It's negotiation. It's getting people. Honestly, if you can get the door open and you can have a rational discussion with people, they understand how it would be short-shrifting students to not let them, to let them know that, guess what, Newton is a 400-year-old idea which works great when you're playing pool, but the world is so much more amazing. So we do have a pretty substantial voice, and yeah, across the country.
That's how it works. Yeah.
But I wouldn't use the word power.
Do the packages that you make, do they fit directly into the curriculum, or is it more like an extracurricular thing you just can do with students if they want to teach them some proper videos or get them more excited about it?
Both. Again, depending on the region. Because we really saw these as needing to go across not only Canada, but global, we make them the way we think they should be based on the physics, and then we say, and in your curriculum, it plugs in here, here, and here, and you could do it as an extra thing here. Rather than, this is what the curriculum says, now let's make something to fit it. So that we have the luxury of being able to do it right and then point. And if you know anything about, and think of your favorite teachers in school, curriculum, that was never something that would stop good learning. And that's on my very first diagram, we had subversive to some other really cool word, transformative. And the subversive actually came from that discussion. So dark matter, the Western provinces said, we can't do it. And one of the teachers said, oh, but we have circular motion. You can put this in the circular motion chapter because it's all about circular motion. And you just happen to be doing some modern physics as well. So subvert the old curriculum with good materials. That's where that came from. So that sort of is a snapshot of how we approach that problem. Yeah. Good stuff. Don't hesitate to stop me getting coffee, cut in front of me if you need to, because it sometimes takes me a long time. Love to chat, love to hear more about what you guys are up to and what you're doing and what you're having fun with. And if there's anything that you want to try to engage with, by all means. And it's not, if you come to talk to me, I'm not going to handcuff you to my desk and then put you to work. We'll see if something can happen, great. And if it can't be formal and we just have a chit chat, that's good too. All right, thanks very much.